study there. And David is, in my eyes, a very dynamic man. He's always, when I phone him, there's at least two phones ringing at the background as well, and then he just let them ring and he speaks to his pastor. So that's wonderful, David. But he's going to be in the pulpit. We have the privilege of listening to David this morning. He's going to share with us. So I encourage all of you guys to, soos is in Afrikaans, om julle ore te spits en te luister. So David, it's really a privilege. Welcome. And I trust that you will enjoy it, and it's your blessing to stand here this morning. Thank you.
Good morning. I greet you all in the wonderful and the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's an honor and it's a privilege, like Carl said, to stand in the pulpit. I also told him this week that I preach about, I think, 6 months ago, so the nervous is a little bit down, but I believe that God is in control. It's not on my own that I'm standing here. I'm standing in the authority of the Almighty God. And I just this morning, when I woke up, I was sitting in my living room, and I said, God, I'm nervous, and I don't know. And you know, the most of the time, I know it now. If I want God to speak through His Word to me, I open my Bible, and lo and behold, my Bible once again fell open on Isaiah 33, chapter 33, and my eyes immediately pick up verse 10. You are my witness, that declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, in order that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. The end of verse 12 said, so you are my witness, declares the Lord, and therefore I'm standing here, not on my own, but I'm standing here because I'm a witness of the Almighty God. I want to preach this morning about something that is really close to my heart. I don't want to left it out, Carl. I really appreciate the fact that you're giving me the opportunity to stand here in the pulpit and to bring this Word of God. Thank you for opening the church for us to be here. We praise God for that. I want to talk about something that is very, very close to my heart this morning. Over the past two weeks, thank you, I've prepared, I think, two other sermons, and every time I didn't have the total peace to bring it. And it's just this week that God had put Psalm 51, very, very strong on my heart. And this is why I want to preach this morning about Psalm 51. I've got a few questions for you this morning. And I want you, if you can remember it, it's good. But if you have a pen and a paper, maybe you can put these questions down. And you can go home this afternoon and next week. You can meditate on it and you can pray over it. The first question is, where is your heart this morning? What fills you the most every morning when you woke up? What thoughts did you hide deep in your heart that only you know about? And which part of your being is the part that you believe in? Do you believe in your head, or do you believe in your heart? These are really good questions, and I believe that over these years, a lot of psychologists and theologians have really maybe tried to answer these questions. But let me tell you that God already knows what is in your heart. He knows what is going on in our hearts. Lately, I've been thinking about what is God saying to me? What is God saying to me and you? What is God saying to His church? I honestly believe that what God said to us is, you must have a pure heart. and you must trying, you must working on changing your heart so that we can be sold out for His purpose. Because God had a purpose for each one of us. And we can only be sold out for His purpose if we have a clean heart. So I want to invite you this morning to journey with me through the sermon to see what it really means to have a pure heart. What it means to be really blameless before the Lord. And to understand that because God loves us so much, He wants us to change. If you have your Bibles, can you read with me Psalm 51? I believe it will be on the screen too. I want to read the first 17 chapters of Psalm 51 to you. Be gracious to me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of Thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only I have sinned and done what is evil in Thy sight, so that Thou art justified when Thou dost speak and blameless when Thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, Thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden parts You will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which Thou hast broken rejoice. Hide Thy face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. And then verse 10, this is the verse that I want to preach about. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from Thy presence, and do not take Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of Thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors Thy ways, and sinners will be converted to Thee. Deliver to me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of Thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare Thy praise. For Thou dost not delight in sacrifices, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, You will not despise. This is God's word. Let us just pray. Father, this is Your word, and we are Your people. This morning, Lord God, if we stand here, if I stand here, Lord, I know that I'm Your witness. I pray that You will hide me behind Your cross and that You will speak the words that You want to speak to Your people this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that You will lead me, that You will give a calmness over me. Father, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. In this verse, David is crying out to God. He's at a point of his life where he's really seeking God's leadership and God's guidance. My brothers and sisters, this morning this message is a message of self-examination. And today I hope that I will speak to the heart and the conscience of every man and every woman, of every boy and every girl in this building. This psalm was written by King David just shortly after the prophet Nathan has gone to visit him and after his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. David has committed a great sin in the eyes of the Lord. I love to read the psalm. Most of the time, just a psalm to meditate, just a psalm to ask God to really come into my heart again. For me, the psalm is like a personal prayer of a confession, a personal prayer of self-examination. For me, the psalm is a cry for forgiveness to God. I can really identify with the author of the psalm, not with what he did, but with the sense and his need for forgiveness. Because I am the same like you, who knows God, are men after God's own heart. But sometimes I myself are falling short of the goodness and the mercies of God. The Bible said, we are all like sheep have gone astray. We all have sinned and fallen short of God's goodness. The impact this verse has on David's life should also be a calling, should also have an impact on your life and my life today. This is David's cry of repentance, something that we should learn from, something that we must practice every day, a cry of repentance to the Almighty God. I want to put my sermon in four parts. The first part is David asking for a pure heart. One of the things David is crying out to God is he said, God, create in me a pure heart. But I believe that this statement has so many other implications as just the words that is on the paper. Here David is saying, Lord, give me a pure heart. Lord, take this heart away and give me a heart that is right with you. Give me a heart that won't run after the lust of physical pleasure anymore. A heart, Lord God, that is obedient, refuses to keep sin in any longer. That means a heart that is willing to admit my sin daily before you and to get rid of it. He said, God, give me a heart that is filled with love, that never insists on its own. David asked here for the wisdom to know the difference between right and wrong. This is David's prayer in the psalm. He said, God, give me the wisdom that I will know when I'm doing wrong. 1 John 2:16 said, for everything in this world, the craving of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has done and does, come not from the Father, but from the world. Therefore, dearly beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, the humility and humbleness are not just church words. Humility and humbleness are the ways God wants you and me to live daily. If you and I want to have the power in our witness, we must humble ourselves before God in order to have a clean heart. We can't have a clean heart if we don't humble ourselves before the Almighty God. David says here, create in me a clean, a pure heart, O God. A heart that knows no greed when it looks upon the worldly treasures anymore. A heart that thinks of others first and not of himself. A heart that argues for love instead of fairness. We live in a world where fairness is like in the order of the day. Fairness is here every day. Everyone wants to be treated fair. A heart that argues for love instead of fairness. A heart that is filled with compassion for others. So many times we don't have that compassion anymore. So where is our hearts today? Do we have hearts that seek after the justice for God? Or do we still have hearts that seek after justice for this world or ourselves? 1 Peter 1:15 said, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Are you seeking to know more about who God really is? Are you seeking more about what God can do for you? Then we need to desire a pure heart like David. A heart that never boasts about what he has or what he has done. A heart that will walk humbly, not trying to appear more important than others. A heart that takes no pride in the flesh. A heart that chases after God daily. A heart that looks for God for its provision. A heart that trusts only God, that is at work in himself and in others. A heart that does not manipulate people or circumstances. A heart that look upon the things above and not on things below. Matthew 6:20 said, "Store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." My second point is, where is the joy in your life today? Psalm 51:12 said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and sustain within me a willing spirit." David is asking the Lord, "Heavenly Father, renew the steadfast spirit in me again. A spirit that is completely committed to you. A spirit that is not double-minded. A spirit that is focused on your purposes and your purposes alone. A spirit that is determined to Christ and Christ alone." The Apostle Paul, he said that if you know nothing except Jesus Christ crucified, then you truly know everything. If you know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, then you truly know everything. We don't have to know everything of this world. We don't have to know all the sciences of this world. We only have to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then we know everything. Our salvation ought to be our joy. The forgiveness that we have received from God, meaning our salvation, ought to be something that you and I need to be joyful over. Because our salvation comes from the Lord, and this is something to be treasured. Our salvation needs to be treasured forever. Do you still remember the day when God forgave you? That day was pure joy. That day, when the first day that you know that you were washed clean in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that is pure joy. Do you still remember the last time you have asked God to forgive you? And God told you in your heart that you are forgiven. That was joy. That was joy. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God brought the gift of salvation to us so that you and I can have it, receive it, and have joy over it. When we ask for God's willing spirit, we're asking for God to take away our own embarrassment. When we ask God to remove our personal agendas from our life and make His agenda the priority in our lives. The third point, how does this apply to your life? What is the application of this verse to your life? Psalm 101 verse 2 said, "I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will thou come to me? I will walk in my house with a blameless heart." The King James Version said, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will thou come unto me? I will walk in my house with a perfect heart." Regardless of what version we use, the message is still the same. Our hearts need to be guarded. This is the implication of the application of this verse. Our hearts need to be guarded. And we are to be careful to lead a life blameless, even in our own homes. You will agree with me that it is in our homes, there where we are hidden away from the world. This is there where the secret sins most often happen, in our homes. Remember earlier we have talked about asking God to create in us a pure heart. This purity of our hearts starts and ends with God. But we have to ask it first from God. We don't receive just a pure heart. We need to ask it from God. It is not automatically. It's ask and pleading from the Holy God. And then we go through a process of develop our heart. I want to pose this question. Do you need a clean, pure heart? We all have layers in our human personality, and God wants to come into our hearts, into the inner depth of our hearts to clean that layers. 2 Timothy 2:13 said, talked about the process of sanctification. Sanctification means cleaning. God wants to dismantle that stronghold of darkness in our inner beings and make us completely His so that we can be set free. Maybe there is still some of us who keep things in our hearts. Maybe there's still some of us that can't be set free because we hold it back into our hearts. You know, although we are serving God, sometimes we as Christians, although we are serving God, sometimes in the depths of our being, there is still anger sitting in our hearts. There is still resentment for people around us that is sitting in our hearts. Self-centeredness, bitterness, confusion, and bondage is still in our hearts, although we are children of God. The good news that I want to bring to you today is that God wants to go into the depth, into the basement of your soul and clean it up. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to make yourself open before God and say, God, come into my heart and clean it up? When we allow truth and honesty to go into the inward parts, then we open ourselves to God for the process of sanctification. Only then we will experience a lasting inner freedom and release. Then we will discover the kind of joy that David has talked about when he has said, cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear only joy and gladness. In closing, Psalm 51 is a prayer and a spiritual warfare, a prayer of brokenness. David's prayer of repentance remains on record, a testimony of his brokenness before God. But David's prayer of repentance is also an instruction for you and me today. It's not, it didn't happen many, many years ago. It's still an instruction for you and me today. David's repentance did not come from fear of punishment or of concern for the future success. He repents because he has offended God. And if we sin, if you and I as God's children sin, we offended God. David realized that he was foolishly wasted something precious and cried out for the restoration of his fellowship with God. Although his heart was crushed with his shame and sorrow over his sin, he knew no great breath of God's mercy. The best is that after confessing his sins, he had peace that his sins was forgiven. Only then God give him God's choicest gifts. When all our sin is taken away, when we are washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ, then we get gifts from the Holy God. The gift of joy, the gift of restoration and God's presence. And the best of all, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit if we are children of God. Then we can humbly offer ourselves to be used as an instrument to show forth God's praise to the world. Do you and I need spiritual cleaning? Do it today. Do it today if there's still something in our hearts that need to be clean. If you need prayer, ask God to show you to people that can pray with you. You can phone the church, you can phone the pastor, you can phone scholar. Ask someone to pray with you. If you need prayer, if you know there's something still in your heart that hold you back, that God can use you completely. Proverbs told us that he that is wise shall be delivered. Deliverance comes from knowing the truth, and truth only comes from knowing God. Deliverance comes from knowing the truth, and truth only comes from knowing God. When we commit ourselves to truly knowing God, then we will be delivered forever from the sin that comes from a deceitful heart and a twisted mind. Are you trusting on your own heart? Are you relying on your own thinking still this morning? Then, my dear friends, your heart will lie to you and your heart will deceive you. And unless your thinking is based firstly on the absolutes of God's word and His law, then you will discover that you can't rely on your own thinking anymore. The heart of a man is deceitful, and the mind of a man is blinded to the truth. You need Jesus. You and I need Jesus in our hearts. And you and I must have the mind of Christ in all things. My prayer is that if we go today from here, if we go today from this church, that we will keep it in mind. That we will put our trust in the Lord. That we will get our hearts right with God so that we can start learning to hear the voice of God. If our hearts is right with God, we will hear the voice of God. Let us pray. Father, we come to you and we pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you will be the after preacher of your word. Lord, I pray that your word will stay with us. That we will do everything in our power, Lord God, to hold on to your word. Help us to confess our sin to you so that we can have clean hearts and a pure mind. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. We ask the worship team to come up. If you need prayer, if any one of you know there's still something in your heart, if you know that you need someone to pray for you, this is a place where we can pray for you. This church is a praying church, I've seen now. And because we are a praying church, we are open to pray for you. There's intercessors here that will pray for you. As the worship team is playing a song, you can come forward. And Pastor Carl, you will take over. And please, thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you very much, David. I'm not going to say a lot. We're going to worship now. And I just want you guys that the word that has been preached this morning, to in your own hearts, to bring it before God. And I believe as we're going to worship now, that's the opportunity for all of us to go and do a little bit introspection and to see and to listen. Because the word of God is like a mirror when you look in it, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So I trust that all of us can stand this morning before God and just look inside into those layers this morning. So I ask all of you guys, please stand with me and then we can worship. And as David has said, if there's any of you guys, no matter how big or how small it is, if you feel that you need prayer this morning, please come to the front. We would love to pray with you. Amen. I